You're listening to a message by Bruce Downs, given to the Catholic Eye Impact Centre in southwest Sydney, Australia. We know this message will bless you.
I want to say hello to everybody who's watching on television, to all of you who are online, to all of you who are in halls and houses and churches, in all sorts of places around the world. It's great to have you with us. Today we're continuing in our series called Your Future is Bright. Have you ever wondered how God fits your life into his life? Have you ever wondered how God fits your life into his life? Or rather, how do we fit our life into God's life? Today I want to talk, the title of the message today is The Prior Decision. If you're taking notes, you can write that, The Prior Decision. The Prior Decision. And I'm going to start by reading a passage of scripture from Mark chapter 12, verse 41, and it says this. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called the disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she has, out of her poverty, has put everything she has had, all she had to live on." I'm going to read it one more time. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Have you ever done anything rash? Ever done anything on a spur of a moment and you think to yourself, "Oh, I wish I hadn't done that." I wonder if this woman made a decision to give such an enormous amount of her offering. I wonder when she made that decision. Could it have been moments before? Could it have been just a whim? That maybe she got caught up in a moment of decision. Maybe she'd heard a motivational talk about giving to charity, to church, and all of a sudden she gives in this, what is literally an irrational amount of money. And maybe she was so desperate, she thought to herself, "If I can indicate to God how desperate I am, that God will look after me, that God will care for me." And then, have you ever made that rash decision? Then afterwards you wonder to yourself, "How am I going to pay the rent now? How am I going to buy clothes? How am I going to put petrol in the car? What about food?" Do you think she could have regretted what she did? Do you think she could have regretted? I've wondered when she made the decision. Do you think she made the decision in advance? Maybe it wasn't a whim decision. Maybe it was made in advance. Maybe she'd had time with God. Maybe she'd made her decision, had been made some time ago, and she had made a commitment to God, and now she was trusting God and believing God and letting God look after her. How are we meant to live our lives with God a part of our life? Do we fit God in our life, or is God meant to be fitted in? We fit God in, or does God have to fit us into his life? See, God is able to have us respond in a moment, isn't he? Something can happen in a moment. I remember, as I've shared many times, I was 13 years old, and a Catholic priest walked up to me and said to me at an event when I was just 13, and he said to me, "Do you want to give your life to Jesus?" And he said it in such a way that I kind of stopped and went, "Well, how would I do that?" And he said, "Well, you'd have to tell him. You'd have to say to him, 'I want you to be the center, the Lord of my life.'" Now, I was raised in a traditional Catholic background. I lived my whole life in the Catholic world. But I hadn't ever heard anybody say that to me. And then he said to me, he said, "Well, you'd have to tell him." And he said, "I could pray right now. And I could pray that it would happen right now." And I remember it was yesterday, 43 years ago, and I was 13 years old. And it was 8:45 at night in the Infant Jesus Kindergarten in a primary school. And he said to me, "Do you want to give your life to Jesus?" And I wasn't so sure about what that meant. And he led me in this prayer. And the truth is, it changed everything. And I wouldn't be here today changed the way I've lived my life, what I've studied. It's changed the way who I married. It's changed the values in my family. It's changed the way I've lived, raised our children, the way we spent our money. It's changed just about everything because of a moment. I wonder if we're meant to fit our lives into God or God is meant to fit his life into us. I wonder what this woman was thinking about right then. Now, when I was just in year 8 at school, because I was 13, I didn't think that that decision all those years ago would influence so many things that it influences today. I didn't, because I was just used to going to church. See, God's able to respond and God's able by his grace to have us respond in a moment. We can respond in a moment. But interestingly, the spur of the moment stuff, when you've given your life to God, the spur of the moment stuff is often a decision that you make in the light of a much bigger prior decision. The mature Christian, it seems, lives out of a prior sense of what they've decided that dominate their life. And then this prior decision, it dictates who we are. It dictates what you like. It dictates how we act. It dictates what you think about. It dictates your emotional state. And so I want to ask you, as we're here today, and wherever you are you a whim decision person, or are you a prior decision person? Are the big decisions of your life already made, even though you don't know what those decisions are yet? Or are you waiting to make those decisions when they arise? Because the truth is, I think as Christians, the truth for many of the big decisions that we'll make in our life are already made, even if we are not aware of what those decisions are. They are already made. Now, when I talk about doing whim things, I'm not talking about if I come up to you afterwards and, hey, you want to go up the road and, you know, have an ice cream. I'm not talking about that kind of whim. We all won't need to live free, otherwise, gosh. I'm talking about that bigger stuff. I'm talking about that whim, bigger stuff. See, a whim decision person is someone who can be somewhat erratic because they haven't got their base right. They can be someone who lets tiredness or hormones or other pressures or get in the way. And if anything, they're difficult for God to have a place in their part, in their life, because they are erratic. Well, a prior decision person's a little different. A person who's made their decision prior is a little different. There's a strength about a prior decision person. There's a reliability about them. There's a commitment to growing personally. When difficulty comes in relationships, and it does in everybody's relationships, and it does, they act strong in the midst of it. They're often people who are committed to other Christians. And the problem is that to be a prior decision Christian means that there's a level of maturity that we need. But for many Christians today, we never get to the level of maturity. We seem to stay and have an ability to be immature. And we can think to ourselves, oh, no, but you don't know me. Well, let me read to you what Paul said to a few Christians in the early church. Because Paul seemed to come across all these people who didn't seem to have the ability to mature and to grow. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says this on the screen. So let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start all over again with the importance of turning away from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need, Paul says to them, you don't need further instruction about baptism or the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And so God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. See, the writer of Hebrews is saying, let's stop going over the basic stuff. Let's stop going over the basic stuff. I'm so pleased I went from grade 1 to grade 2. And yet for many of us as Christians, we stay in grade 1 for a long time. And what we do is we become enculturated. We know what you have to do. We know how to act. We know how the thing, you know, we know how to turn up. We know where to sit. In some churches, people have got their favourite seat. John always sits there. No, you know, people have their favourite seat. And I know where some other people are in some other cities, and I know where you're sitting right now. Okay. The writer of the Hebrews is saying, grow up. the writer of the Hebrews is saying, move on with your life. And if you move on, God will move on with you and bless you. Don't keep repeating the basic things. But for some of us, if we are a whim decision Christian, we got to keep doing the basic stuff because we're not mature enough to go to the next bit because we keep doing the basic stuff over and over. See, look at this on the screen. It says, maturity happens by ensuring that we first have in place the basics. You've got to have the basics in to mature. I've just visited my children. They're in their 20s, so a number of them in their 20s. And they're living, you know, and some of them are married, some of them living by themselves. And you kind of think to yourself, as I visited them this week, Rosemary and I visited, we stopped and think to myself, did we do everything we needed to do to put the basics in them so they can grow up? Did we do our job? Did we do the thing that when we get to heaven, that God's going to say, listen, you were a dad, you were a mum, this is who you were, you were a carer, this is what your responsibility was. Are we going to be able to say, we did our piece and now it's over to them? Because you put in the basics, don't you? And then there's a point where we all take it up ourselves. See, as a Christian, the basics things include things like faith and belief in God. As a Christian, we realise that there's a foolishness to keep trying to be good all by yourself. Because the truth is, I keep trying to be good, and I can't be good. I need God to help me be good. I love Rosemary to bits, but gee, I can be terrible to her. I'm probably the only person watching and listening right now that has that problem with their spouse or a friend. Yeah. I don't need another person to tell me what being baptized is. I don't need someone else to tell me about the facts of what it means to have for Jesus to die and to rise. But I can hold them away from me, can't I? I can hold them away from me. Some years ago, I had a niece. I still have a niece, but back then she was two. Her name was Tiffany. And if you ever went, and she used to count, if you ever played with her, hide and seek, she counted like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. There was no seven. There was never seven. It irritated me. I couldn't get her to say seven. But if she wanted to play hide and seek with you, when it was her time to hide, she would run off and hide, and then you'd find her, and she thought it was hilarious. But when it was your time to hide, you'd say, okay, you count, and you knew she was going to miss out seven, and you'd go and hide, but then you'd get to where you're going, and there she was right beside you, and as soon as you hid or stood behind, wherever you're going to be, all of a sudden you'd hear this counting right there. And wherever you hid, she'd come and stand beside and she'd count there. And then when it was done, she'd go, found you. Now, I don't reckon that she fully comprehended the idea of the game, but she thought it was hilarious. Hilarious. So you didn't really have to go very far to hide. And I reckon in time she would appreciate the game even more. You know, the Christian life for most of us is lived at such an immature level because we don't make a decision for maturity that we never get to experience the fullness of playing hide and seek with God in that sense, the fullness of the game. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says this in chapter 3. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to mature Christians. I had to talk as though you belonged to the world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food, because you couldn't handle anything stronger and you still aren't ready. So Paul's actually talking about something that's quite common, isn't he? He's not talking about something, if you're feeling bad and you're going, I'm not all that mature, I don't know all that much. Well, Paul's probably writing to you. And often this has been me in my life. Let's go back to Hebrews. Again, in chapter 5, verse 12, it says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with teaching about righteousness. But solid food's for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. See, the Christian life is about growing up. The Christian life is about coming to maturity. Why don't people grow up spiritually? Why don't people grow in their relationship with God? See, I can tell you that story that yesterday, 40-something years ago, I committed my life to God. And I can tell you that. And I would love to tell you that all the years of my life and all the days and all the weeks and all the months of my life that I've been deliberate in my growth and maturity and But I lost years. I lost years. Years of just turning up. Years of never surrendering my heart, my life, my thoughts, my actions to God in a deeper way. For years. I think some of the reasons people don't grow up spiritually is I think we get busy. We just get busy with life and it takes us off, whether you've got jobs or family or children. We get busy. Some people are ignorant of other possibilities. Some people think it's just, well, church is about turning up. We Catholics, if you come in the Catholic world and some other, we were taught for a long time, and my generation was taught it was about attending. And you turned up all the time. And even though there are deep and rich and meaningful and all of that type of stuff taking place, somehow that stuff seemed to have a distraction from us. It seemed to have a distraction from us. I think one of the reasons people don't grow up, people continue just to do the basic things and not the mature things. I was talking to a couple of men this week who went off to one of our small groups. See, it's all well and good to sit in church like this, and you can listen to me, and you can listen to others talk, but the truth is real growth only occurs when people sit in circles with their knees together and share their life. Because that's when what we hear meets our life. Whereas right now we can just listen, but it doesn't necessarily challenge us. And I heard a couple of people say this week that they went off to a small group and it was just one of the best experiences that they'd had in their life here. And the reason was, when I pressed a couple of them, why was that the case? Because we got to share our lives and we got to let people know who we really were, as opposed to, you know how we've all got game face on now? We've all got our game face on. This is me. You really don't know what I'm going through. Rosemary and I could be in a really terrible place. We could be fantastic. I've got game face on right now. You've all got it on. Yeah, I don't wear makeup, but I do. We've all got our game face on. And the Christian maturity says sometimes you've got to let the people on the other side of your makeup, doesn't it? If you really want to grow. I think growth is a decision. I think growth is a decision. It's not accidental. It's not like when I was young, if mum and dad just put food into me, I just grew to become like this. I think growth, particularly spiritual growth, is a decision. I think spiritual growth is a decision. It's something that we decide to grow. I got a call. I'm not breaching any confidences here by telling this story. I got a call from someone in this last week, and sadly it's a conversation I've had on numerous occasions, of a guy and a girl who asked me to come and talk to them, who'd been married for some years, and they're having trouble, having some problems getting on. And anybody who's been married for a while knows that there are times, and we all go through times when it can be, well, there can be trouble. Yeah, getting on is difficult. I went to see this guy and we decided to have a chat first, and I sat with him for a while and he started to talk, and immediately he spoke, I thought, this is exactly the conversation I've had with I don't know how many people. And he said we've been married for 20 something years, and he said we got married and he said she was cute and I loved her and we spent huge amounts of time together. And he said it was just about us for all the time we were. And then we got married and life was good and it was kind of setting up house together. And once he got here, I immediately go, I know where you're going. You're going where so many of us go. And he said, and then a few years into it, somehow a baby occurred. I wanted to tell him how, but I thought I wouldn't, you know. And he said a baby came, and he said I immediately went from being the most important person in my wife's life to being the second most important. He said before she would do things for me and we'd hang out together and we'd had fun and all that type of stuff, and now all of a sudden fun seemed to be greatly reduced. And he said then a couple of years later, he said, I don't know how, but we had another one. I wanted to tell him again how that happened, but anyway. And he said, and then I went really, really, really far away. And then a few years went by, and all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a place where it's homework at school. And he said, I work in a big job, trying to and hard and long, and I'm exhausted at the end of the day. So I come home and the first thing I'm greeted with, can you do this? And can you do the dishes? And can you do homework? And can you? And I go, yep, you're going exactly to where I think you're going. And he said, and then afterwards we're both tired, and so kind of she goes off to Facebook, and well, I just sit down and think to myself, what can I do? As I watch TV, but I like chatting and talking, but there's not much of that. And he said, I got to this place where I'm not sure I love her anymore. It's easy to get there, isn't it? And many of us in different ways, at different times in our marriages and our relationship and our friendships, get to that place. We get to that place. And it's so easy to get to places like that. And we chatted for a while, and I said to him, you know, every relationship goes through these things. I said, Rosemary used to dote on me. Seriously, she would lie awake at night and just, okay, it's not quite true, but you know, I want it to be true. And then we have one kid and I become second. And then we have two and I become third. And then we have a third child and fourth child and fifth child. And then I move quickly to number six. And then we get two dogs and I think I'm above them. You know, but it doesn't take much as we go through life and as our circumstances change. If we haven't thought through what the future will be, for us to get thrown by the circumstances that we face. Now, I think I'd have a talk to her. They're both a fantastic couple. They're just a great couple. Both of them are wonderful people. But because of not a thoughtfulness about where this is all going, and having made some decisions prior, they get themselves to a place that right now is a bit of a tough place that we'll work through. Please God, that we'll work through. See, maturity is a decision. And spiritual growth is a decision. And living well is a decision. I've been asking myself lately, what's the difference between, say, a Mother Teresa? And we all know Mother Teresa, even though she's been dead for some years, you say Mother Teresa, most people go, oh, she was that really holy, caring person. And a person just doing the basics when it comes to God. What's the difference? What's the difference between, say, a Pope Francis? I went to a conference recently. There were 7,000 people there, and it wasn't a Catholic conference, but the speaker comes along and he says, you know, if God's up here and this is 100% and down here is zero, he said, where would you, if here's God and God's perfect, where would you put the holiest person you know? And this person came along and says, well, I think it probably, and this person said, well, and this guy wasn't a Catholic, he said, well, I think the holiest person would be, well, Mother Teresa. And he goes, okay. And then he said, what's another name? And this the person said, was a bit older, said, well, I think Billy Graham, that great, wonderful Protestant evangelist. And then this guy said, so where would you put yourself? And this guy went, oh, down here somewhere. And then this guy went, what about this new Pope, Pope Francis? Well, this guy, and this guy who wasn't a Catholic at all, he said, well, I'd put him holier above Mother Teresa. Because you listen to what he's saying and what he's doing and how he's living. But these guys didn't get there by doing the basics, did they? And they didn't get there by being special. Because I don't think there's such a thing. You know how in Australia we talk about people just lucky. I don't think so. What they did was they did more than the basic. They made a commitment to yield their life to God in such a way that said, God, I'm going to be open to you in the midst of my daily walk. Now, if you're anything like me, my life's full. All my hours are full, and I think people are full today. And you think, how can you do more if you are so busy? And so if spiritual growth is a decision, it sounds like I've got to do stuff. I've got to do stuff. I think it's something different to doing stuff. I think spiritual growth, maturity is this. Spiritual growth is when an external action on the screen, spiritual growth is when an external action becomes an internal reality lived out. When an external action becomes internal. I'm not just going to turn up to church because, well, that's what I do once a week. I'm going to go there because that's where God is. I'm not going to be kind to my neighbor because we're human beings and we should just be kind. I'm going to be kind because when I think about who God is and the dignity of people, because God lives in every person, I'm meant to live and care for them in a different way. I think it's a mindset shift that God puts within us that causes a transformation within us that says, I'm going to be serious about this for the right reason and not the wrong reason. In the book of Revelation, it says, God says, I don't like half-heartedness. And I've got to be honest, I was a half-hearted Christian for a long time, but guess what? I used to sit pretty much up the front. I'm a good half-hearted Christian. I can put the clothes on. I've got game face. I even know a few things to say. I can even make myself sound religious. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that something, that the internals of it. You ever faked it? You ever faked it? Spiritual growth is about the external part of us becoming an inward reality. And there's a surrendering to God. There's a surrendering to it that says, I'm going to take what I hear at church. I'm going to take what I hear, what I read in the scriptures. I'm going to take what I've prayed about, and I'm going to actually not do it, but I'm going to surrender to it. And there's a difference. When I go on diets, and I'm always going on diets. If you ever listen to me, I'm always about to go on a diet, and it's always coming on Monday, right? I've learned something about losing weight when I'm really serious about it and when I'm not. Is if I go and set myself up, and Rosemary knows, I go on these weight loss campaigns. Anybody else or just me? All right. I'm the only honest person here, but nevertheless, I go on these campaigns and the only way I've discovered how to really lose weight for me, maybe not others, but for me, is I can follow what the book says or the program says, etc. But there has to come a point where I surrender to it. I say, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not resisting it. I'm not doing it because I have to. It's because I'm going to do this. And it's the same with growing with God. It's surrendering to, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to be a church attender. I'm going to ask God to come and make himself real to me. And that's what that priest taught me when I was a teenager. I rang him yesterday. I was about to catch a plane yesterday, and I rang him yesterday from the airport. And I said, 43 years ago today, I said, it happens on the 7th of November every year. And I always think to myself, do I like you or not like you on this day? Because what had the change that has meant in my life? See, Mother Teresa, I don't get the impression, was saying, what's the basic amount? But nor do I get her, I don't get the impression of saying, how much can I do? What I have the impression is what she was saying to God was, here I am. I'm actually going to give this a crack. I'm going to surrender to it. So spiritual growth, you could write this down if you wanted to, but spiritual growth is a question of character. It's a question of character. It's who we are. It is allowing the substance of the person we are to say, I'm going to surrender to this. And otherwise, we're looking for entertainment, or we're looking for it to be meaningful in some way. But to surrender is the secret I've found of maturing. Whether it is as simple as a diet, whether it is our relationship with God, there's a surrendering. And another way you might say it, it's maturity and walking with God and discovering God. It's a movement from doing something to being something. And I know that's all very theoretical, but it is. It's a movement from doing something to being something. When I was young, I was raised in the Catholic world. I'm still raised in the Catholic world. And I was told that you need to go on church on Sunday. If you didn't go to church on Sunday, it was pretty serious and you could burn, using my language. And so I turned up every week. And I reckon I turned up with a whole pile of people who were equally as dead as I was. But I was there. I was ticking the box. I ticked the box. You ever been a box ticker at church? Probably none of you. But I was. And it only made sense when it really was stopping and saying, I don't want to keep going for going's sake. So that anyone can say, hey, did you go to church on Sunday? Yeah, I did. Good Christian. Because that's not the message of Jesus. Jesus invites us into a relationship where he is perfect. And our only response can be to surrender to him because I want you. It's the only response. Because he has everything within himself. So how do you live a bright? Your future is bright. It's the title of this series. You can't have a bright future. You can have a future without God. And it doesn't mean you won't be successful. And it doesn't mean you won't make money. It doesn't mean you won't have a happy marriage. It doesn't mean any of that. But when we surrender our life to God and we say to God, God, this is me, and I'm not going to attend, but I want you to be completely within the substance of me. When you surrender to it, there is an attitude, an emotion, there is a conviction, a power, a feeling, a sense of God's presence right there that you can get in no other way. And that sense that he lives within, I gave up being a church attender a long time ago because I realized church attendance just isn't what this is about. It's about a relationship, and it's a choice to grow in that relationship. And I'll finish with this. Rosemary sent me a text. She'd been away for a couple of weeks. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a 3-hour time difference between where we were. So 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sleeping because most people I know who work day jobs sleep at about 3 o'clock in the morning, right? My phone goes off, and my phone is loud, but I don't know why, and it's beside my bed. And you know how they say you shouldn't take technology into the bedroom? Well, my phone is there. I haven't quite got to that stage of maturity yet. And Rosemary sends me this message, and she says, and we've gone through a big change in our life in the last year. Our kids have all of a sudden grown up. We don't have our kids with us. So life has gone through one of those many transition points that you do. You finish school and it's a transition point. I found from going from year 10 to year 11 was a big transition point. There's so many different transition points in life. Rosemary writes me this text, and in effect it just said this is, we have stuff to work on in our relationship now. There's conversations we need to have now. And what she was saying to me was, there's another level of maturity and you need to surrender to this. We need to surrender to that next level in our relationship as a couple. Does that make sense? See, it's always about surrendering. Because as we move closer to God in all the areas of our life, as a student at school or university or in our work or in our relationships or in our parenting or in our hobbies, we're constantly being called closer to God, and every movement closer to God is an act of surrender to God. As we say to God, God, I want you to be within me. Otherwise, you turn out trying to be a good Christian person. And the truth is being a good Christian person, I just seem to fall short of all the time. It comes down to this question of surrendering. Now, I realize that's theoretical and might be a tad heavy, but if you grasp it, if you grasp the whole idea of it's not about trying, it's about saying, here I am. It's amazing how it changes you and that the person sitting beside you doesn't get it, but somehow you do. The Christian life is about surrendering so that our future is much, much brighter. My last story before I finish. Have I said that already today? One of my brothers, he wouldn't mind me sharing this. He ended up living his life, went through a bit of a tough life, very successful, very financially successful. But relationally and in other ways, his life was tough. And he stopped going to church for something like 35 years of his life. He didn't go. And then through a series of things, ended up back. And he said to me once, just on his journey of beginning back, right at the very beginning, he hadn't come even started going. He took me aside one day and he said, I got more money than you. I got more things than you. I got more houses than you. He said, matter of fact, I've got more of everything than you. But you have more than everything I have. And that's Christ. And that only comes from not being a church attender, but being surrendered to him who calls us. Why don't you close your eyes? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you today that you call us into this brighter future. And Lord God, there are people who are here right now, or they're watching in all the places they are. Lord God, and right now, you are in that room with them this very moment. There are some who are young. They're just teenagers. They're 13 and 14. There are some in their 20s and 40s and 60s and 70s and older. And you are right there with them right now. Some of us older people, we've been tick the box, go to church on Sunday people. That's what we've done. There's some of us young people, we have said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to go at all. And yet you look at us and you invite all of us, no matter where we are on our journey, no matter what we've done, and you don't want us to feel guilty. You don't want us to feel like we can't be in church because we feel judged. You want us to be in a place of freedom and hope, a place where we are celebrated because we are trying to celebrate you in our life. And God, there are some people here today who need to say to you right now in their heart, I surrender to you. I don't want to keep going to church. I don't want to not go to church and avoid you. But to surrender to you, to say, if you'll lead me, if you guide me, if you take me, if you show me, if you put people in my life to help me, then I'll surrender the best I can today to you. And I'll ask you to be in that the center place of my life, the driving place, the place of peace, the place that you really can't understand, that appears so simple and so hard to describe, but that center place to say, this is me. And there may be some of us here today and we think, gee, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel I could say that. I feel a bit guilty for some of the things I've done in my life. Well, I just want to say to you right now, you can just sit silently with that wherever you are. You don't have to tell the people around you, say nothing. Because God already knows. And he looks at you and he looks at you with those eyes, those piercing eyes that sees everything. And you are acceptable to him. You are loved by him. And he wants to walk in your life and be in your life as he stares at you and looks at you. And he wants to be at the very center point of your life to make your future bright. He wants to lift away from you all the things that you've done maybe in your life and, you know, your work, your parenting, your relationships, your marriages, the ways you've spent your money or not, the things you've said and done. And he wants to take away all of the sense of the weight of guilt, of the uncomfortableness, just the feeling awkward about it. And he can do that right now. Right now, take away that. He does not want your past to burden your tomorrow. That's not the way God is. Sometimes we're like that, but that's not God. That's not his personality. It's not his character. So God, we come before you right now and you look into the hearts of people and you hear them praying right now. Jesus, I give you my life. Make my future bright. Forgive me for those things I've done I shouldn't. And help me to be the person I can be in the future that you want me to be. I give you my life. And I give it to you now. I might have done it last week, but I need to do it again today. Or maybe for the first time, but I give you my life. Lord God, come. I choose to grow. I make a decision for maturity, spiritual growth right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
That message was given to the Catholic Eye Impact Centre in Southwest Sydney, Australia. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you visit one of our Sunday services and we'll make sure you feel right at home. For more information about the Catholic Eye Impact Centres, visit our website, thecatholicguide.tv. The Catholic Eye Impact Centres, it's church done differently.